I'm going to do this in one fucking take. If you guys don't like it, deal with it. Hello again, and welcome back to the hottest rising independent wrestling podcast in the Midwest. That's right, none other than the Squared Circle City Show. I am your host. I am that boy, the magic man himself, that motherfucker, the... Fuck, I don't... No. I'm sticking to it. I said I'm going to do this in one fucking take. I've done deleted this shit and kept on going. No, I'm doing this in one take. You know who I am. Indy fucking Mikey. We've been at this for almost a year. Let's get this shit going. Kicking it off. Fuck. Ha. Anyway, if I say that I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And like I said earlier in the week, because the fucking tip of my tongue, holy crap, the return episode last week didn't work out as planned because Mike doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, you're getting two guests this week. You got my good friend, my homegirl, Pitbull Piper Brooks. You got her early in the week. You got her earlier in the week. But tonight, I'm coming at you with the next guest of the two this week. One of the baddest fucking dudes to come out of the Midwest area. Deathmatch fans, you know him. You love him. You might hate him. Whatever. Aiden Blackheart, he's on the show tonight. Super stoked for this. Whoop whoop to the homie on that. So excited for this. Alright, so, before we get into that, just want to let you know, I love you guys, I'm so grateful for everybody that's been continuing to support the brand, support everything that I'm doing. It's been a passion of mine, but you already know, longtime fans, you already know, those of you that don't, I've been a very, very passionate fan of the business my whole life, and being able to do a podcast where I can get my voice out and put wrestling on a pedestal and just speak and bullshit with great workers and great people in the business, people that I love, people that I call friends, making friends in the process. It's one of the best things that I've ever done in my life outside of having my son. I mean, literally, Gideon's Tops and then getting involved in the business is like right there after that. And then Squared Circle City Show. It's fucking amazing. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't trade this podcast for anything. Which is why I'm doing everything under my freaking power to build the show and keep it growing. Keep a fan base going. The love that I get on a regular basis, the people that came to me during the hiatus wondering, hey, when you bringing the show back? When you bringing the show back? Where's it at? What's going on? What's up with the Squared Circle City Show? My people over at the over at Podcast City Network, they were all like, hey, when you coming back? When you coming back? When you coming back? Dude, we back, motherfucker. We're back and we're better than ever. Very excited to do this episode with Aiden Blackheart tonight. We're going to bullshit about deathmatch wrestling, and we're going to bullshit about his band. Aiden's got a band. We're going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about a lot of things. It's going to be fucking awesome. And if anybody has a problem with the way, because I told y'all already, what y'all thought you knew about the Squared Circle City Show, forget it. Because it's new, and this is how it's going to be from here on out. Because I'm building a brand, and if you aren't on board, then you're getting left behind. And that's just all there is to that. If anybody has a problem with the way things are now, the fact that I'm more open about just being free and free-spirited and more outspoken and just whatever, if you got problems with that, start your own fucking podcast and Do things your way. This is my podcast. I started it because I fucking wanted to. And I'm going to run it the way that I want to. And if you don't like it, fucking deal with it. Okay? But if it doesn't bother you, then keep riding with me, baby. We in this for the long fucking haul. Man, there's going to be so much in 2020 that's happening. And man, I'm so excited to just drop all of it on you. I've had people tell me, oh, Mike, you shouldn't try to sound like a shock jock. Nope, I'm just being more real with everybody. I'm just being more open. I'm just being myself. What you hear on here is what you hear in my everyday life. For those of you that don't know me personally, I live it. I fucking hate Migos. But I'm going to walk it like I talk it. And that's what I do. I talk and I walk. And that's just how it is. And if you don't like it, find another fucking podcast. Go listen to, I don't know, go listen to Jim Cornette be a racist piece of shit. Go listen to Jim Cornette be the fucking worst dude on the planet. Go listen to, okay, I can let you know. Go ahead and go listen to Jimmy Jacobs, because he puts out a great podcast. I'll tell you what, he puts out a great podcast. So go listen to Jimmy Jacobs. But don't listen to fucking Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette's a piece of shit. And you know what? Just to piss him off, not that he's even going to care. Oh, by the way, since the hiatus, Jim Cornette's blocked me on Twitter. It's the greatest fucking thing. It was literally one of my goals for the year, and it's been accomplished. It was accomplished in 2019. It was one of my goals for 2020. I'm like, fuck it. I'm blocked on Twitter by fucking Jim Cornette. It's the coolest thing in the world. So, with that, hey, G-Raver, if you want to be on the fucking podcast at any point in time this year, you're more than welcome on. So, let's do this. But, I got Aiden Blackheart tonight. Very super stoked for this. Very excited to talk about his career as a deathmatch wrestler, how he got started on everything, talk about his band, talk about him fucking being at the gathering and all that shit, whatever, just all of it. It's gonna be a blast. Fucking excited. If you don't like me, there's the door. I'm pointing literally at the door in this room that I'm in. You can get to stepping, because I ain't got time for it. So, and if you do, even if you don't like me, keep listening, because I might just piss you off, might just annoy you. Whatever. I don't care. This is my podcast. Going to do things as I see fit. Is your name literally on like all the graphics? When your name is on all of the fucking graphics that I put up on literally everything, then you can, you know, dictate to me how I do my show. But your name isn't Indie Joe Bob Jack Jan, whatever the fuck. I'm Indie Mikey. And I fucking run this shit. So, it's my show. Do it like I like to. Do it how I see fit. Seal fit. Like a fucking seal that's fitting into a tuxedo, which would make him a walrus. Why I said that, I don't know. Because I'm fucking weird. And that's okay. Because that's okay. I don't have to explain myself. End of story. So, I'm going to hop off here. I'm going to get some shit going down, maybe get some soda pops in my system, because your boy doesn't drink, your boy doesn't smoke, your boy doesn't do none of that, but your boy will tip back a fucking Faygo, or two, or ten, or whatever, and just party all fucking night with fucking Faygo, period, end of story, whatever. You don't like it, fuck you. If you do, fuck you anyway, but I love you. So yeah, I'm going to hop off here, get ready for the rest of this episode. Your boy Aiden Blackheart's going to be on the episode, so get ready for that, and I will catch you guys in a bit.
Hello again, and welcome. Hey, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Squared Circle City Show. Again, I am your host, Indie fucking Mikey. All right, so like I said earlier in the week, we are going to have two guests this week. We already had Pitbull Piper Brooks on earlier in the week. She was just cutting it up like she always does. Tonight we actually have another good friend of mine, a dear good homie of mine, none other than Deathmatch Badass, Kentucky's own Aiden Blackheart. How you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, man? Don't be
Hey, man.
hyping me up too hard. I'm gonna have to live up to that shit.
Man, just go with it, man. Just live it up, man. Live it up, man. Yeah, I've been looking to have him on, and I'm glad that I finally got to have you on. You've been wanting to be on for a while. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, so I'm glad we finally got to get together and do this, man.
Oh, yeah. This freaking app's weird. Like, I gotta keep my phone held up if it tries to black the screen out, you or your voice keeps cutting out. But
I was having a little bit of an issue with that myself. I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? I remember when I started this, man, it was just so much easier. But hey, things change, and here we are. So,
getting our ass kicked by technology.
we are getting our ass kicked by technology, but we're going to kick technology's ass right back. So, very excited to have you on. But to get some of my fans that may not know who you are, just introduce yourself. Tell us who Aiden Blackheart is, man.
Man, I don't know the answer to that question. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm kidding, man. Like you said, I'm just a wrestler. I like to get out there and do my thing. It's this bug that I got bit with a long time, and if you ask anybody that lives this kind of life and does this shit, it's addicting as hell. Like, I love it. I get to hit the road. I get to live my dreams. Like, 10-year-old me is so impressed with 33-year-old me.
Man, I feel that, man. And honestly, I mean, if you would have told me 10, 15 years ago, I'd be doing what I'm doing with just like a podcast and working behind the scenes in the business, man, I'd be calling you a liar. But here I am, 31 years old, and I'm killing it. Fucking love it. It's the best shit ever, man. So again, for those who don't really know you, like, how did you get your start? Like, what got you wanting to get into the business? And like, where'd you get your start, and how'd you get to where you are?
God, that probably goes all the way back to like age 12, 13, I want to say. My generation was the beginning of that backyard wrestling craze, to be 100% honest. And a lot of us started this path there. Backyarded up until probably, I want to say, 2013, secretly in Kentucky, where, and eventually in 2006, we met a couple guys in Glensboro, Kentucky, that had a promotion called Thunder Valley Wrestling, and they brought me and Shane Mercer and a guy named Corey Havoc in, and just told us, like, hey, get your Kentucky licenses and we'll put you in the ring. And, not knowing any fucking better, we did. And a lot of people kind of had to pull us to the side and smarten us up really fast. But that's kind of how the initial like getting into the business happened for me. Eventually, guys like Max Misery, Isaiah, and a lot of other guys, American Kickboxer, have like kind of sat with me and got me to where I am now, as far as like teaching me the things that I needed to know.
Okay. Yeah, and I
And,
know you mentioned Shane Mercer, another dude that I really love and I know. And you guys seem like you've been pretty tight over the years.
yeah, we actually like grew up like one street over from each other, so we've known each other since elementary school.
That's dope.
I'm also a bass player, so like 2009, wrestling kind of went on the back burner till about 2014, which is a gap that I'm not necessarily proud of as far as like taking all that time off. But I was just kind of 2 feet into band into music, and I'd only really had a taste of Kentucky wrestling, which I don't know if you know much about it. It fucking sucks.
Yeah, I know enough that it does suck, and I hate to say it, but Jim Cornette doesn't do any good for you guys, so.
Well, There are some guys that are doing good. Al Snow is making OVW really interesting to watch again. And Larry D is running PTW down in Kentucky. And I have to say, hands down, that's probably the best place to go as a fan or as a wrestler in the state of Kentucky.
Yeah, Larry D is a good dude.
And he's got – actually, he posted on Facebook recently that he's taking trainees for a new class. So if there's any people that are interested in getting in the business, hit up Larry D.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good list of names that's going to help Kentucky wrestling get the respect back. Because, I mean – I know it's been rough down there, especially for deathmatch wrestling for in the state of Kentucky. So let's touch on the deathmatch. Go ahead.
You know what about the Kentucky thing? Like, yeah, there's not great wrestling in Kentucky a lot, but Kentucky boys are killing it all across the globe right now.
Absolutely.
You've got Alex Zane's on a Japan tour. Ricochet's in WWE right now. Yep. Shane Mercer's tearing up GCW and ripping the independents to shreds. I'm going down the deathmatch path. Larry D just got signed to Impact. Yep. Cash Flow and Isaiah and a lot of Kentucky grown wrestlers are on OVW television, and they're – And some of a lot of them are the upperclassmen as far as like they're the veterans and they're like kind of there to teach and stuff. Like they're the guys with the experience and they're Kentucky boys. Sarah Logan's on Raw and SmackDown right now. I think she's technically from Indiana though.
Kind of.
Okay, yeah, she's from Indiana. My secretary just confirmed that information for me.
Your secretary.
So yeah, I mean Kentucky's definitely getting a good presence in the industry right now, and it's a good time for everybody in the industry, to be honest. But yeah, let's talk about how you got into the deathmatch scene.
Prince of the Deathmatch. I've been wrestling at IWA for a while, and I always wanted that taste of fucking blood, man. When I first started coming around IWA, they were gearing up for King of the Deathmatch 2015, and I went and hung out and helped sweep up and watch and shit, and I was just completely blown away, not only by the matches, but the fans. Like, I don't see a lot of fans reacting and showing the love like they do at a good deathmatch tournament, man, and that was just... It was just like a calling moment to me saying, hey, you got to do this. This is fucking fun.
Yeah, I mean, and IWA is definitely a good place to get your feet wet for it. And then I know you've been doing a lot here in the state of Indiana. I know you've been working like a lot of AWR and all that shit. So, yeah.
I did one AWR show, and then that dude fucking came at me with some dumb shit and told me he can't use me. Over some drama.
And then
I did a live interview in the Murder Death Kill Club and kind of went in hard on him a little bit because he was commenting while I'm going live, and he's like, hey, when you gonna come back to AWR, man? And I'm like, I don't know, asshole. I thought you fucking unbooked me because of some dumb bullshit. And now he's fucking running with it on Facebook, like, oh, I got some heat with wrestlers finally. and their fucking venue canceled on him again.
Yeah. So. It's been kind of rough. I mean, I've been watching AWR from afar. It's been kind of rough, man. But we kind of have a thing here in Indiana of promotions kind of flaking out. So it's like,
Promoters think that the Facebook game is what's going to get people in there and get this shit together, and I don't know why. Like, wrestling's been around for how long, and how long has Facebook been around? Like,
exactly.
You got wrestling shows used to have hundreds, if not thousands, of people at regional promotions back in the day, and now you can barely get 200 and everyone's just promoting on fucking Facebook.
I mean, I guess it kind of does good, but like, for me personally, there's nothing like a good old flyer to hold into your hand. And I don't know. I think the flyer game is really underrated.
I think it is, and I think everyone needs to do more community outreach and get sponsorships going with exactly. other businesses. Because let's say I run a gas station and you come up to me as a promoter and you're like, hey, I want you to, we want to do a sponsorship program. You get all these tickets and you pay us $100. We'll promote you and give you these benefits X, Y, and Z. And because that my gas station paid you $100, I'm going to put the work in to make sure I sell those tickets back to get my money and a profit and get the benefits of you promoting me. It works all around for everybody. And I don't see anyone hardly doing it. Every once in a while, you'll say, oh, check out our sponsor, this local gas station or this local pizza joint. And then the next show, it's, oh, we don't got any more sponsors.
Yeah, I know of a few promotions. I'm not going to name any names, but yeah, they definitely do the pizza game, and it works for them. I mean, it's been working for them for a while, so.
Oh yeah, for sure. But everyone's got to try everything and do what they got to get the show going. Have you ever heard of Primos Pro Wrestling in Colorado?
I might have heard. I think I might have.
They do Slave to the Death Match each year, and they are an example of a promotion that does the work that you need to do within your community and getting the sponsors and having the good production and all the other things you got to do behind the scenes to make their show worth it. Like, every time I go to that promotion, it's a fucking blast. The building's packed. There's down a fun fucking time, because I think I'm almost that it's because the groundwork's done before the show gets started. They don't just promote on Facebook.
Right. I mean, I guess it's pretty much just subjective to whatever promotion. I mean, whatever it's one of those things, you find your niche and you go with it. So, I mean, some things work for some promotions, other things work for other promotions. And I mean, it is what it is. I know promotions that they flyer and they pack the house out every time. I know of promotions that run off of Facebook and then they still get good draws. I know of promotions that flyer their asses off and they don't even draw maybe but 100 people a month. So it is what it is.
Hello.
Here we are getting technology still. I do apologize, everyone, for that technical difficulty yet again. I know we had the same fucking thing happen with Piper earlier in the week. I am going to get this shit figured out, and we're not going to have these issues anymore. But I continue to thank you guys for sticking in there with me while we're growing as a podcast. Anyway, back to what step, the fuck. What the fuck, Aiden?
Man, step the game up.
Man, game is getting stepped up, man. We're getting it there. We're getting it there. All right. Yeah. So you're telling me about all how you've been traveling all over the country and doing all sorts of amazing shit in deathmatch wrestling. Do you have any particular people that you can name right off the top of your head that have given you some of your absolute best matches in your deathmatch career so far?
John Wayne Murdoch and Homeless Jimmy. And I have to throw Slack in there too. I've had a couple. I had two matches with Slack, and they're fucking awesome every time.
You can't not throw Slack in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of people I've had multiple death matches with. I know Murdoch and Homeless Jimmy are definitely up there. Me and Shane Mercer had an awesome death match in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, duh. Sorry.
Fuck, man. It's kind of cool. Like, I've gotten little tastes of a lot of different people. Like, the Hooligans put me in the ring with Matt Tremont. I've had an awesome fun. One of my favorite fucking matches was a six-man tag against the Hooligans and Neil Cutter. And, like, that was a fucking barn burner of a match for VOW.
Oh, I can imagine.
I've got to get in the ring with J.D. Horror and Michael Kruger in Los Angeles. That was a lot of fun. I've got to wrestle Chewy in Denver. I'm getting ready to have a few matches against Akira this year soon. I think that's going to be a blast to finally. We wrestled each other at Slave of the Death Match and for Primos in Denver this past year in September, but the match was really short, so we didn't get to do a whole lot with each other. I got to have a parking lot brawl with Mosh Pit Mike, and we fought onto a dab bus and took dabs.
Now you mentioned Akira. He's another one that is really making a name. He's really starting to come up into his own in deathmatch wrestling. I remember when I first saw him, he wasn't doing death matches. But if I'm not mistaken, I think a trip with you down to Mexico kind of broke him and kind of popped his carry and got him going into the deathmatch scene.
Oh, yeah, it's all my fucking fault, and Akira's turning into the man, dude, I promise you. He's going to be the shit here real soon. Fucking, to tell that story, I got to rewind a few weeks. When I got the call to go down to the NGX in Monterrey, Mexico, Murdoch called me while I was at a GCW show in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And me and Akira rode up there with Shane Mercer and Nate Webb and Alex Colon to see the June Kasai match and hang out and shit. So we're standing outside on the pier, and I get the call, and I looked at him, and I was like, hey, you want to go to Mexico? And he didn't even have, like, a for-sure match. He was just coming to ride with us and learn and stuff. Like, he's only 2 years in. He's still that – and still trying to fucking – get every little opportunity he can to learn and stuff. So he's like, sure. Let's go to Mexico. And we get down there and they're like, hey, can he wrestle? Can he lucha? Yeah. We went to their gym and they have like a ring set up on the roof, and he got in the ring and did lucha drills with a class, which was really fun. Get down there and like, can he lucha? We'll make this. I was supposed to be in a three-way match, but they made it a four-way match and added Akira. And they're like, you death match? He's like, no. And he was super fucking. He was really timid and like kind of nervous because he had never experienced any of this shit. And he went out there and had a fucking great match. He kicked me in my head so fucking hard. Bled all over the fucking place, and as soon as he gets in the locker room, he's like, I love deathmatch wrestling. Oh, I love Mexico. Some fucking smoking hot Mexican chick force fed him ecstasy, and then now everyone has to deal with Akira and death matches. You're welcome.
I first caught wind of him. He was working here at a local promotion that I'm with. It was early last – it had to have been early – either late 2018, early last year. And he was coming into his own, but then he breaks away and then he starts doing death matches. And then I start seeing him all over the place. And I'm like – I'm so fucking proud of him. Just haven't seen him grown in the 2 years that he's been doing this into what he's doing now. I'm like, man, the sky's the limit for him.
He had maybe had 10 matches when I met him, and a mutual friend of ours had introduced us and was like, hey, he'll get in the car. He will go to any show. He'll work his ass off. He's got good gear. He's really respectful. I was like, fuck yeah, bring him on. And we went up to Michigan and did some little spot show and rode back. And just because he kept his word, I was like, yo man, I'll keep hitting you up. If you want to hit the road and do this kind of shit with me, you know, most wrestlers won't get in the fucking car. And that's what made me go, okay, come on. And he was still kind of trying to find his way and find a path to start going down. He's looking for a home promotion or looking for he's still kind of going to schools and stuff. And I was like, look, you can hit the road with me. I'm not a trainer. I can't teach you how to wrestle better or a lot of the things that you need, but I can introduce you to the people that can teach you the lessons that you're looking for. Cause I know I can get you to these shows and those people are at those shows. And he took that fucking chance and look where he's going now. He just had a fucking killer match with Matt Tremont.
Yep. Now, I know you mentioned a little bit of GCW. I do want to give a little shout-out to a good friend of mine, Deathmatch Russell. He told me to say hi to you, so.
Oh, I fucking love Russell. Russell, if you're listening, you better have my fucking flocka when I see you, okay?
Russell is actually going to be on the show next week, so there's that.
Cool, cool.
Super excited for that. He's such a cool dude, good friend of mine.
Oh, Russell is one of the best people ever, man. Like, I had never met him before in my life, and we'd done podcasts together and, like, chopped it up on the internet, but I met him in person, and he just, like, brought me a fucking pizza and gave me a pack of cigarettes and a bunch of weed and shit, and I'm like, I didn't even ask. He's just like, here, man, you need anything? You need anything else? You need anything else? I'm like, no, dude, you're the fucking shit. Like, Russell is one of the coolest people in the world.
He still owes me a Deathmatch Russell shirt, but hey, it's all good. I'll confront him about that, so no worry.
Hey, I'm special. I got my Deathmatch Russell shirt. There's a lot of people waiting on their DM Russell shirts, and just to rub it in their face, I wear it all over the place.
Yep, I know. I've seen you got yours, but yeah, it's all good. We're part of the same network, Podcast City Network. Everybody go follow us on there. A few other podcasts. It's a good show. Good times. Good people on the network. So, yeah.
I've repped Russell coast to coast. I got a map sitting in my living room. And I'm sitting here thinking about like all the places I've wrestled in a DM Russell shirt. And it's been all over the fucking place.
Yeah, he's such a good dude. Now, you did mention one thing that I do want to touch base on. You said that you have been you're a bass player, and you mentioned that you do. You didn't mention it earlier, but you did tell me that you do have a band. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Fuck yeah! Anyone local to Louisville will know who Terry Harper is. I was just randomly making bass videos on Facebook because I was bored and fucking sent him one. He's like, you need a band, dude. And I was like, yeah, sure. So, yeah, I mean, I've been toying around with the idea of joining a band again. Because, like, with wrestling, I'm at a place where, like, I'm instead of taking constant bookings, I'm just trying to take good ones and manage my life. And have fun with this, and I've got a little bit more time to do a project like this. So Terry introduced me to this band called 3DR, and we're a lot of people call us metalcore, which is like Asking Alexandria, and trying to think of other bands that are in that genre. I suck at the whole genre thing. We're a heavy metal band.
You there?
Kind of style that they were writing. And it's been a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. Any particular areas where you draw influence from when it comes to playing bass, like any particular individual artists or bands or anything?
Korn for sure. I get that reference a lot because of like the sound of my bass, and I play slap, like heavy slap bass, and an old guitar player used to tell me I reminded him of the guy from Tool, but I don't really listen to Tool like that. I used to try to play like Les Claypool from Primus, but that's
there you go.
I love him, but he's just not. I want more metal if that makes sense. He's more funk. Yeah. He's like more funky metal, way lean towards funk, whereas like I'm leaned way towards the metal part of it.
Right, right.
I wish I could play like the dude from Mudvayne.
There you go. Takes me back to the old Dig video.
Oh God, yeah! Like that fucking the way he started that video. I remember seeing the commercial. I hadn't heard the whole song yet. I just saw the commercial and was like, "Okay, I gotta get this album."
I played LD50 so much when I was in middle school, dude. It was crazy.
Oh God, yeah!
Such a good album. Such a solid album. Still to this day, and that's been almost 20 years. My God.
Oh, for sure. It's my personal favorite. I think if you have to go as far as like having the best songs and probably like the tightest album, the one after it with World So Cold and Silenced and what was that other song that they did?
Oh, God.
They had another single off of it. It wasn't
Not Falling.
It was a heavier song. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, Not Falling.
Yeah, that was a good album, but LD50 was just nuts. It was so nuts.
Some of those bands, like, I'll go back and listen to them, and I can't figure out why I liked them. Like, Cold Chamber didn't age on me like they should have. I used to fucking love Cold Chamber, and now I'm just kind of like, I feel like I'm falling out of love with Slipknot.
Right?
And I can't put my thumb on why. Like, their drummer's way better than Joey Jordison. And I feel like they're going more like radio friendly is probably the easy. If I had to put my thumb on one thing, they're going radio friendly.
Yeah, and you get all these mid-40s soccer moms that are going to all their concerts and shit. I'm like, what is going on?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with some mid-40s soccer moms, okay? Put those wrinkly mom titties to my face.
Oh, man. But yeah, I fully agree. Fully agree that they've gone more of a mainstream radio style of sound. And it's just, I don't know. I think they just started falling into that once All Hope Is Gone came out, and then it was just after that, it was just no.
Yep. And also, like, I love Korn, but emotionally and at a maturity level and like where I'm at in my life, I don't relate to their music like I used to. Like, when I was a young, pissed off teenager, I related to it. Now that I'm happy with where I'm at in my life and I'm in a more positive place mentally, like the music doesn't, like, I don't appreciate it. I mean, I like it, but and I appreciate it, but it's like I don't like vibe with it anymore.
Right, right. And I feel that way myself. I mean, I'll go back and listen to old Korn shit that I would listen to when I was a teenager. And, like, if I'm in, like, a certain mood, it'll hit me. But if I'm not in that mood, it's just like, meh. It's good musically, but it doesn't vibe with me like it used to. You know what I'm saying? So I totally feel you on that one.
I've got one album that I'm going to name off. And I bet you cannot find one person that can go back and listen to it and say, yeah, that was a good album. And it's probably one of the worst in that new metal era of stuff that I really grew up on is fucking Down With the Sickness by Disturbed. That is go back and listen to one fucking song. The whole album, point out one thing that's a badass song, like, My wife's sitting here fucking flipping me off. Like, like the fucking the song Down With The Sickness, he's fucking copying Korn doing the that scat stuff and then crying about his mom abusing him. Who the fuck wants to listen to someone fucking like
Now, in defense of that band, I will say when Believe came out, that album resonated with me so much.
And I agree with you. I didn't, I said that one album. The rest of their stuff's pretty good. They have some really good shit after Down With The Sickness. I really think those guys looked at Korn and went, let's write about some domestic abuse. abused? No, but this is what I think it'll sound like.
So how is the 3DR life going? How's it treating you, man? I mean, have you had any like really noteworthy gigs that you've played or like anything you want to really
we've only played on, two We've only played two local shows, and if you want to get the experience of what it's like being in a band, go find a bunch of fucking cats and stuff them all in a pillowcase. And tell me how good that works out for you, because that's what managing a band is like.
I have one cat, and that's bad enough, so I can imagine. I can most definitely imagine.
Yeah, man, it's like stuffing fucking 20 cats in one pillowcase.
Now, since we're on the topic of music, I noticed that you and Shane went to the gathering, what was it, 4 years ago this year?
Yeah, it'll be the 4 years ago this year was when I went to my first one. And besides when they went to Oklahoma, I've been to everyone since.
Okay. Okay. Have you worked any of the JCW shit or?
I've done my first gathering. I did Bloody Mania, and then I went to Juggalo Weekend in Nevada the next year, actually Las Vegas, and I wrestled for JCW there.
How's JCW treated you?
They don't even know who I am, dude. Yeah, like it's two millionaires that have this little side project thing that they like, and then they have different people within their company kind of run it. Kevin Gill is doing it for old, like a rude boy is, and now he's just booked all his Detroit guys, and then like Pondo and a couple of other guys,
right?
But it's not. It exists. It's a wrestling company that it's not even a wrestling company. It's a side attraction of the Insane Clown Posse's company. Yep. And I think a lot of people get it misconstrued like it's an actual company. There's like, I don't look at it like they have a booker and shows. It's the gathering exists and there's a show at it. You know what I mean? So like, it's not like it's exciting and it's a lot of fun. I'm not trying to diminish it. It's a really cool thing because there's been a lot of great moments at JCW with like legends getting mixed in with the indie guys and a lot of the stuff that like JCW original gimmicks and stuff. There's been a lot of really cool moments that have happened at the gathering and at JCW, but it's not like don't think there's much thought into it other than, oh, well, it's the gathering. Book Bloody Man, book the three shows. Boom. Okay, we're done.
So, would we be seeing Aiden Blackheart at Crystal Forest this year?
Aiden Blackheart will be there in the super pimp fashion, bitch slapping juggalos, but I probably won't be at JCW.
Well, there you go, man. I mean, just show up and rep, man.
Okay, truth be told, this last year at the gathering, I threw some firecrackers at a buddy of mine and didn't realize that Rude Boy was standing right fucking next to him, and he doesn't really fucking like me. So yeah, I'm probably never gonna get booked at JCW. I'll be there though.
Oh yeah. So yeah, man. If you could, I've already touched on that. Shit. No, fuck it. If you could name your top three best experiences, doesn't matter if it's in deathmatch, in your deathmatch career or whatever, or wherever you've been across the continent, so far since you started working, what would you say your best, you don't have to put them in order, best three best experiences that you had overall?
One of them definitely has to be, I'm just going to say Mexico as a whole, because of the way that the fans and the country and the promotion treated us. Like, they really rolled out the red carpet, and the fans made me feel like I was fucking like Hulk Hogan, you know? Like, they, Sick Boy gave me a fucking, Death Valley driver off the apron onto the floor through a fucking barbed wire table and pinned me.
Jeez, God.
And fucking, while I'm like, I'm trying to get up, and like that shit really, like my hips are shitty, and that really fucking hurt my hips and knocked the wind out of me. So I'm like pouring sweat trying to like get my bearings together. And there's like 20 people. There's like 700 people shoved in this fucking little gym, and like they're pushing each other away to give me room. And there's about 20 people taking their flyers and their, the pamphlets and stuff and the fans that they have. And they're all fanning me off just to give me some air. And like, I've never had an American crowd as a group treat me like that. You'll catch like the deathmatch Russells at a show, and those people are fucking everywhere, and I love every single person that that shows the love that they do at shows. But just the overall, like 700 people together doing this, like with that much love, that was such a fucking surreal great experience. And then you got to contrast that to that GCW show that just happened, where they're trying to like get in the camera and like be trolls the whole fucking time and start shit with wrestlers. Like, that's uncalled for. Mexico right. is the best. Getting, and this is gonna be weird because I think a lot of times a wrestler is gonna like name three matches they had or whatever, but a lot of times, like, it's the things that happen between the matches. Like, a lot of times, I really appreciate the life experience I've gained and the travel experience I've gained and the world, and as much of the world I've seen. Like, wrestling took me to the West Coast and took me to Las Vegas for the first time. And to get all sentimental, I was missing my wife and my family, and I'm walking around Vegas, and I was kind of contemplating and proposing to her and stuff, but I was like, you know what? I want to get married out here. And prior to being a wrestler and achieving what I have, I didn't have this self-confidence that I do. And I wouldn't have been able to pull it off prior to wrestling because I'd know that I didn't know I could achieve those kind of things. So making me the person I am is something I really appreciate and love from wrestling. And like,
oh yeah, man.
You know, just taking me where I have and like, and helping me see the world and have these really cool moments. Like, my life's a little mini movie sometimes. Trying to think of a third. All the pussy.
Really?
Yeah. All the pussy. That's probably the coolest thing wrestling. Oh, one of the other cool, super cool things I'm grateful for wrestling.
Oh, man. And there's plenty of that. And they're usually the rats.
fucking, I was doing a murder death kill interview, and fucking Blake goes, "So yeah, you and so and so are known for like being the king of the rats. You got any good rat stories?" And I'm like, "Where the hell do these questions? Like, how am I known for that? I don't broadcast when it happens and what I do and shit. Like, what the fuck?"
If you don't have a good rat story, are you really even doing it right? Let's be honest.
No, if you don't have a good rat story, you are not a fucking wrestler.
Exactly. And that right there is absolute fucking gospel.
No, I got to take that back. I know a wrestler. I'm not going to say his name, but he came up to me and we were talking about, I said something about rats. He goes, "You know, I don't have any good rat stories. I hooked up with one chick after a show. This, this, and this happened. It wasn't fun, and I never did it again." And I was like, "Well, that sucks." But and he's retired now. But he was a really, really, really good wrestler. So I'm not gonna. I gotta recant my earlier statement.
So what are some of your plans for the new year? We just started 2020. I mean, we're almost done with January, however the fuck that happened. What are some of your plans for 2020?
I'm coming to Horror Slam. I'm gonna fuck shit up. And honestly, I kind of want to use that platform to catapult me like back to where I was and then surpass it, because I've been kind of taking a little bit of time off and slowed down for a little bit for reasons X, Y, and Z, and I'm trying to get back into get back into things, you know. I really like what Horror Slam's doing. I like going to Detroit. I love the crowd, and I think my type of work will really stand out there.
Okay. Definitely want to keep our eyes out on that, man. Definitely want to keep our eyes out on that.
IWA Deep South's got Shoot Style Baby coming up, and I'm taking on the winner. It's a back-to-back show. Like, it's two shows in one day. A doubleheader is what he's calling it. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking on the winner of the Shoot Style Baby tournament that day in a death match.
Oh, there you go.
That's yeah. Really awesome.
That sounds fucking awesome.
I'm booked on the Night for Necro show in West Virginia.
Okay. Sounds like you got a pretty solid 2020 plan for you.
Oh, for sure. I'm already like, I'm looking at my calendar for like the next 2 months going, "God, when am I going to have time to like work or see my family or, you know, sleep?"
Yeah, it sounds like you got everything cut out for you, man. I'm actually very, very excited to see how things go for you, see where 2020 takes you.
Wherever the hell I want it to, man.
Exactly. And that's how it should be.
For everybody, that's one of the biggest secrets in life, man. Like, you don't have to be a rock star or a wrestler or a fucking politician or anything to do whatever the fuck you want to do. If you put your mind to it and you don't give up, you can go down any road you want.
Exactly. And that's what I try to preach over here. Well, I shouldn't say preach. That's what I try to push over here on the podcast, man, is just be you, stay true to yourself, live your dreams, don't let anybody hold you down, continue to push for your goals, just as long as you're being good to everyone and not being a dick to people, you know, just live your goals and continue to push for your dreams, man. Don't let anybody hold you back, just be happy. Do what makes you happy, that's all that matters.
Yup.
All right, man, well, I've loved having you on. It's been so great having you on, getting to cut up with you.
Before we hop off of here, where can you kind of already plugged shows for the next couple months? So we're good on that. Where can everybody follow you on social media?
Aiden Blackheart, all across the board on social media. I just had to make a new Twitter, so I got ingenious and spelled heart differently. So find my new Twitter. If it's got a you'll be able to figure out which one it is. The H-A-R-T is my old one. And for some reason, I can't remember my email password to get into my email to recover my Twitter password. So I just abandoned it. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Snapchat at Asian Martian KMS. Facebook, all that stuff. You can hit me up.
Nope.
If you search my city on FetLife, you might find me on there.
Fuck. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. He totally fucking did. And the rats will be
flocking. I'm avoiding.
The Fet rats will be
flocking. I'm avoiding. They don't know about no Fet Life. I'm getting bombarded with projectiles.
Someone has done pissed the wife off.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to have to go suck up and make sure I'm not on the couch for the night.
No, nope. I'm going to let you hop off of here. Make sure that you are definitely not on the couch for the night. Unfortunately, it's a little out of my hands. I cannot help you on that one. It was nice knowing you then, if that's the case. So, yeah.
All right, man.
Absolutely love having you on.
Take it easy.
Definitely love to do this again. So, anybody that's listening, you know where to find me. Continue to listen on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all that shit. Wherever you can find the fucking podcast, I'm more than likely there. Continue to follow on the Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram. You guys all know that shit. It's been good having my good friend Aiden Blackheart on. Gonna wrap it up for this show. Exactly. Gonna wrap it up for this show. It's your boy Andy Mikey, and I will catch you on the flip side.